Good morning. Today's daf in Ksufas Tes Vav. We are on the bottom of Yud Aleph Beis. We're starting with the Mishnah. Let's just go over the progression of Mishnah. This is going to be the last Mishnah we're doing here in the first parak of the Masechta Yirtzeh Hashem this morning. We are going to be finishing the first parak. So just the progression of Mishnah. We opened up this Masechta with the halacha that a woman is to be married on a Wednesday so that she can go to Beis Din on Thursday if necessary. When I say she, I mean they. Husband and wife have discovered that she was not a besula, but rather she was a ba'ula. And so they're going to go to Beis Din the next day if necessary. We want to encourage them to go to Beis Din because aside from all the monetary disputes that they're going to be having, there's also going to be an issue regarding Isser. In other words, there's a possibility that she in fact was with another man while she was married to this man during their year-long Kiddushin. So it could be that she was Mazana, she's an Eishes Ish. So there's a possible Isser, so that needs to be discovered. They're going to open an investigation. So that's where the Masechta opened up, that the Besula is going to get married on a Wednesday. Mana gets married on a Thursday, et cetera, et cetera. Then, as we covered the Mishnah, as we talked about the Ksuva amount, how much is the Ksuva going to represent in terms of an actual dollar amount? I don't mean dollars, American dollars, but in terms of just simply assigning a value to it. Basil is going to get 200. Amana is going to get 100. In fact, the word Amana comes from the word Mana. That's what we learned in this first parak. Again, I know it's backwards. The Torah came before the concept of Amana, but obviously, Kadosh Baruch Hu can do that. He can write. He can write things forecasting the future. As for him, time is not an issue. And then the Mishnayos went on from there. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua had much deliberation in terms of what happens when you have claim counterclaim. She goes on to explain exactly why she wasn't the Besula. He counterclaims her claim. So what do we do with claim counterclaim? And throughout the Mishnayos, so what happened? Rabbi Gamliel says that she's Nehemenes. She has a Tainus Bari. And on top of that, she also has a Chazaka. So as a result of that, so Rabbi Gamliel is of the position that her claim is going to win out over his counterclaim. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, we're not going to give her claim. We're not going to award her claim, but rather we're going to award his counterclaim. Lomi pi anu chayim is the refrain that we kept hearing again and again from Rabbi Yeshua. And then the Mishnayos, as long as we were on the topic of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, when we credit her, when we do not credit her, is moved on to the discussion regarding she was with a man. Can you identify who the man was? Again, machlokas Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua. And then we went on to describe, and she has a child. And now that she has a child, so what is the nature of that child? Who is the father of that child? Is the child a kasher or a pasul? Can that child marry a kohen? So is the child a challah? So all these basic questions, and again, basic positions that are taken. Rabbi Gamliel is going to be a makel in that. Rabbi Gamliel will say that she's nemenes, and Rabbi Shur says no. Lo mi pianu chayin. So those are just a quick rundown of what we've been covering here in the first parak, and here we're gonna wrap it up. We're on the Mishnah on the very bottom of Yud Aleph Beis. Amar Rabbi Yosi Maisa Betinokas Shiyard Lamalos Mayim Min Ha'ayin V'Nensa. So Rachmanus, there was an incident that occurred. Rabbi Yosi tells us where it was a girl. She went down to go get water from the well, and she was violated. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri Imrov Anshe Ha'ir Masin Lekuhuna Reze Tinas Lekuhuna. And so, the quote, B'shem Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri. So let's take a look at the population, meaning we don't know who violated her. So the candidates are basically the locals. So if we take a statistical look at the locals, and if the majority of them can marry a Kohen, meaning that whatever they produce is going to be able to marry a Kohen, basically, we're talking about, I'm oversimplifying, but it's basically Jew versus non-Jew. Meaning that if she has relations with a non-Jew, so the child cannot marry a Kohen. But if she has relations with a Jew, the child can marry a Kohen. Again, that is an oversimplification. That's not perfectly true, but that's the basic idea. So we look at the statistics and we look at majority. And if the majority of men who could have violated her, if they were in fact to be able to marry a Kohen, if the child can marry a Kohen, so then this child can marry a Kohen. Basically, we're going to go with Rov. Now, Amar le Rav le Rav Nachmer le Rav Nachmer Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri Damer. Come on. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri is new to this discussion. Meaning, so far we've been used to hearing Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, and we know their respective positions. Rabbi Gamliel says Nehemenes, And Rav Yeshua says, Eino Ne'emenes. So who's Rav Yochanan Nuri? I don't mean who he is. We know who he is. But in terms of this discussion, where does he belong in this discussion? And E, Karamin Gamliel, Philip Rav Sulam Nami Machshir. And if, in fact, we're subscribing to Rav Gamliel, if Rav Yochanan Nuri is subscribing to Rav Gamliel, so then it doesn't matter what the statistics are, meaning Ne'emenes means Ne'emenes, as we already discussed yesterday and the day before. Meaning that for Rav Gamliel, we do not look at statistics, we just simply listen to what she says. Interestingly, over here, however, I'll point out that we're talking about a Tinokus. Tinokus is a minor. And so I'll throw the question out there for consideration. Would Rav Gamliel say Ne'emenes in this case over here, where, quite frankly, she doesn't have a say? Meaning Ne'emenes, according to Rav Gamliel, could just simply mean that, in other words, we'll assume the best. In other words, but it's not real. It doesn't really mean that she's given credibility. That's not the simple pshat. The simple pshat of Rav Gamliel is that she's given credibility. Rashi over here writes, "I feel a barav sum nami machshir de islay hemet isha cheskasa." So Rashi over here is focusing on the chazaka. She has a cheskas kashrus, and we're going to maintain the cheskas kashrus. Okay, and I understand why Rashi does that, because over here, the word Ne'emenes over here is not really that applicable. She's a child. She's a minor. But the point is that according to Rav Gamliel, the child is going to be kosher, even if the majority of the candidates, the possible candidates of who violated her would result in a psul, Rav Gamliel says kosher. Fine. And ik Rav Yeshua Avila Barav Kshera Nami Pasul. And if, in fact, Rav Yochanan Nuri is subscribing to the sheet of Rav Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says pasul under all circumstances. Even if Rav Ksherim, Rabbi Yeshua would still say pasul. So, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, where are you on all this? Meaning, are you with Rabbi Gamliel? Are you with Rabbi Yeshua? What's happening over here? So, Amar Lei, so this is a discussion between Rav and Rav Nachman. So, Amar Lei, Hachi Amar Rav Yehuda Merav. So, he says, okay, so I'll tell you what I heard B'Shem Rav Yehuda Merav, and that is B'Krona Shol Tzipori Hayamaisa. Uched Rabbi Ami, Dam Rabbi Ami, Vuhusha Isa Sir Shobane Adam Ksherim, Ovrim Lasham, Uched Rabbi Yanai, Dam Rabbi Yanai, Nivalis Bekronos Ksher Lakahuna. Okay, I'll just keep reading because it's all making one singular point. And Bekronos Akadachela Nivalis Beshas Kronos Ksher Lakahuna. So, what we're saying, all of the above is saying the following. And that is that it's a double rove. In other words, Rav Yehuda Merav says that Bekronos Shol Tzipori, so the wagons of Tzipori. The wagons of Tzipori basically means the following. That what we have over here is the following. The locals, the majority of them are Ksherim. On top of that, so in other words, that's called one rove. On top of that, you also have a group traveling through. The group that's traveling through, it happens to be that of that caravan that's traveling through, the majority of them are Ksherim as well. So, who violated her? We don't know. But we have one rove, and then on top of that, superimposed on top of that, a second rove. So now under these circumstances where it's a rove and a rove, a double rove, so then we're going to be makel, and we're going to say that the resulting child is going to be kosher. Okay. Now, let's ask the obvious question, meaning because the Gemara opened up with a general question. Is Rav Yochanan Nuri subscribing to Rabbi Yeshua? Or is Rav Yochanan Nuri subscribing to Rav Gamliel? The Gemara really didn't answer the question. Meaning the Gemara says it's a double rove. Okay, and therefore what? Meaning who needs a double rove? Does Rav Gamliel need a double rove? Right? Doesn't seem that way. Meaning previously Rav Gamliel just simply said, Ne'emenes, she's believed. And even if there's no rove. So certainly what it would seem like is that it's not aligned with Rav Gamliel. So what's the alternative? Obviously, we're only left with one by process of elimination. And that is that now we're down to Rabbi Yeshua. And so what seemingly the Gemara is saying is that according to Rabbi Yeshua, even though he will say, Eino Ne'emenes, but if you have not one but two roves working in her favor, so then even Rabbi Yeshua will tell you that the child is going to be kosher. And this is the way Rashi presents it. Meaning, I went through the process, but that's exactly how Rashi presents it. Rashi on the bottom of Yudalamud Beis, Amalei Hachi Amar LaOlam Ke Rabbi Yeshua, meaning that Rav Yochanan Nuri is really going like Rabbi Yeshua, and V'Hachi Mishum Dikatre Ruba LaKashros Achshura, and it's because of the double rove over here. Each rove is telling us that the child is kasher. So now I'm taking one rove, attaching it to another rove, Later, the Gemara is going to explain what's the difference between two roves and one rove. But anyway, but that's where we're at right now, that according to Rabbi Yoshua, a double rove, we're going to be mako.
Why isn't the caravan that's going through this town absorbed in the town? Why is it another second rove?
Right.
We should be part of just a big rove of that town.
Correct, correct. In other words, right, it is a statistically strange way to look at things. In other words, just simply now take a collection and look at the collective.
But it just gets absorbed. I mean, it doesn't.
The assumption of the Gemara is that this caravan is just going through. So in other words, so basically we have two groupings. We have two populations. We have the locals and we have this caravan that's going through. So now when we're asking the question, well, who violated her? So now I have two populations in which to look at. And so since of both populations, the majority are ksherim, so therefore the resulting child is going to be kosher.
The Mishnah is usually very specific in its language. You know, Bogeret, Na'ara,
yeah.
Tinoket. We're saying Tinoket here is not a girl less than three. Tinoket here is...
Yeah, Tinoket just simply means, I would assume it just means under 12. It's an assumption. I think I'm right. But anyway. Okay. Uched Rabbi Ami. What I'd like to do now is I just want to go back and I'm going to read, meaning I read too much. So... Antes vavam and aleph. I'm just backing up to the top line. Uched Rabbi Ami damer Rabbi Ami v'hushay sasisho b'nei adam k'shirim over slasham. Okay, if you have a sea, if you have a caravan that's going through, so then we're going to be mekel. Then we're allowed to be mekel. Uched Rabbi Anai, and this also aligns with Rabbi Anai damer Rabbi Anai b'nei velos b'kronos k'shira l'kahuna. Now the original presentation of the statement comes out a little bit awkward, meaning if you have relations on a wagon. So k'sher lakuna, right? Even as I say it, right? It sounded both silly and inappropriate. So the b'kronos salkadacha. So immediately the Gemara looks to edit, and the Gemara says, "Fine, eleni v'alz b'shas kronos k'sher lakuna." So if she had relations b'shas kronos, meaning while a caravan was going through, so then the resulting child is in fact going to be k'sher lakuna, and the and mind you, by the way, she herself is going to be k'sher lakuna. Meaning that in other words, if she had relations with a non-Jew, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. Okay, fine. So aval pirish echa mitzipore uval havlat shesuki. But if somebody was parish, somebody comes from the city, so then the child is going to be a shesuki, meaning that the child is going to be unknown identity who the father is. And as a result of that, the child is not going to be kashla kahuna, meaning one rove is insufficient. Meaning the Gemara over here seemingly is going like Rabbi Yoshua. And so that one rove is insufficient, but a double rove is going to be fine. Ki ha'dechi asa rav dimi amar zi'iri amar rabbi chanina v'amri la'amar zi'iri amar rabbi chanina hochenach rov ha'ir vein hochenach rov si'a. So we're going to be following rov ha'ir. We're not going to be following the majority of the caravan. So kapalaya haninayit v'hanikviyam v'kaimei. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. That statement needs to be adjusted because it is just the opposite. Meaning that when are we more likely to work with rove? That's when things are in motion. But if things are stationary, so then we're not going to work with rove. That's Allah of Kavua. Today's daf, we're coming to it in just a couple minutes from now. In today's daf, we're going to go over the Allah of Kavua. So the Gemara says, if anything, the caravan is where we're going to be more receptive to rove than with the locals. Ella hochenach rov ha'ir v'hu dika rov siya ba'ada v'ein hochenach rov ha'ir grei dasa v'lo ach rov siya grei dasa. Okay, so when are we going to follow a majority? That's when there's a double majority. Double majority meaning I have the local population plus we have a caravan going through. Of each population, the majority of them are ksherim. Somebody violated her, or she was just simply with somebody. Either way. So now, is she going to be kshera? Depends. If it's a double rove, yes. If it's a single rove, no. So and it doesn't matter whether the single rove is a single rove of the local population or the single rove is coming from the caravan. Now the Gemara says, good. So we've been saying over the halacha now since the beginning of today's daf. We've been saying it a number of different ways, but it all came out to be the same. In other words, a double rove is acceptable, single rove is unacceptable. My taima. So now the Gemara is going to give a little more clarification. Why should it be? Gzeh rov siya to rov ha'ir. So in other words, if I have just a population of rov siya, of the caravan, even though, in other words, if we're just looking at the population of the caravan and the population of the caravan is majority ksherim, so we could put together, construct a really solid argument that she should be fine, the resulting child should be fine. Meaning, it's called rov. That's usually a very strong determinant in halacha. The Gemara says, but if we allow for that, meaning a single rov by a caravan, so then what we're going to end up doing is we're going to end up allowing for a single rov by the local population. Verov and irnami, idika azli inu legaba, called the parish meruba parish. So the Gemara says, and I don't even understand. Meaning, even if we're just looking at the single population of the locals, so if one of them leaves their home to go and be with her, so that's called a rov. And because he left his home, it's parish, called the parish meruba parish. Meaning at that point in time, we are looking at the statistics. Meaning who is he? Well, again, we don't know who the identity is. Otherwise, there would be no discussion to be had. So we don't know who the identity is, but he is, but he left his home. And statistics now allow us to say, well, the majority of the people in the community are ksherim. He left his home, called the parish, meruba kaparish. So he's coming from the majority. So lo tzricha dekazla ila gabayo, davele kavua. So the Gemara says, so I'll tell you where the problem is. For the local population, the problem is going to be now is that he didn't go to her, but she went to him. Meaning she went to someone's home. Okay. And now that she goes to somebody's home, the majority of the people in this population are ksherim. Yeah, but once she goes to the house, that now falls under the category of kavua. And we have the rule called kavua kemechsa al mechsa dame. That once the suffix is occurring from a stationary point, even though there are statistics, we ignore the statistics. And we just simply say, this is suffix, this is 50-50. So in other words, so what comes out now from the Gemara is that why do I need the double majority? Because a single majority is not enough. Why is a single majority not enough? Because there are going to be cases of single majority where it's simply not going to be enough. Notably, where she's going to the home of somebody in the town. Not knowing who that person is, but because she went to the home, that's now kavua. Kol kavua kemechsa mechsa dami. So then at that point in time, now it's a suffix. It's a 50-50 suffix in terms of who the father is. And that's why a single rov is going to be insufficient. The caravan that's going through is in motion. Yeah. The chachamu made gzera of the single rov of a caravan because that may lead to a single rov of the local population. So therefore, only when I have the rov of the caravan coupled with the rov of the locals, then and only then are we going to be mekom. Umi bein and trei ruba v'atanya. The Gemara says now you need a double rov. Meaning I don't understand where in halacha do you need a double rov? So teisha chanios kol amochus basar shchut avachus mochus basar nevela v'lakach me'achus man bein yideh ma'izem mehin lakach sveiko asav v'nimtza halachach harov. So here we get to one of the most classic examples that the Gemara treats us to a number of times throughout Shas. I find a piece of meat. I don't know where the meat came from. So if I went into a store, picked up the meat in the store, and then had absolutely no recollection of which store I went to go in order to get the meat, the halacha is this is kavua, and kol kavua mechsa mechsa dami. Even if 9 stores are selling kosher, 1 store is selling not kosher, but again, kavua tells us, ignore the statistics and just simply say, is it possible that I got it from a non-kosher store? Yeah. Every time we go over this Gemara, I'm always bothered by the fact that, in other words, we don't look at your habits, meaning you generally speaking, right, assuming that there are kosher stores in the communities, 9 of them. And when I say kosher stores, I really mean kosher butchers. So 9 of them. And when do you go into the non-kosher butcher? I'm always wondering, like, what about the habits of the individual? Okay. Gemara doesn't take that into consideration. Okay. So anyway, but the, But if, let's say, the piece of meat, somebody took it out of the store, and now you're finding a piece of meat in the town. It's funny. In our mindset, like, who's going to pick up that piece of meat and take it home and cook and eat it? The answer may be me. But regardless, the point of the Braisa is that if you take that piece of meat and bring it into the, and somebody, in other words, I don't know who did, but somebody brought it into the town, now that's Poresh. In other words, it left its stationary location. It's now moved. I know we're talking about meat. It's inanimate. It doesn't move. Somebody moved it. But still, it moved. And so once they move, called the parish meruba kaparish. And now let's take an assessment of where we are statistically. 9 stores are kosher, 1 store is not kosher. And now Rove will allow me to say came from a kosher store. Okay. And by the way, this is like where this is a perfect example where the halacha is going to trump the emotions. Meaning, emotionally speaking, someone's going to look at that piece of meat and say, I don't know where it came from. And there's a non-kosher store over here. I'm not going to eat it. Okay, that would be an emotional decision. The halachic decision is that 9 stores are selling kosher. And halacha tells us that we look at Rav. And so Rav tells us that the meat is in fact kosher. Okay. V'chi tema b'shein d'lasos medina nu'alos d'kasi le'ruba mi'ama. Now again, what have we just proven from that brisa? That one rove is sufficient. Meaning I don't need the double rove. The Gemara pushes back a little bit. I don't know. Maybe the case over there is talking about where the doors of the town are open, meaning maybe there's some caravan that's coming through as well. And it happens to be that the caravan is majority kosher consumers. And so this piece of meat now is not the result of a single rove, but maybe the piece of meat is a result of a double rove. V'ha Rebbe Zera, af apisha glossos medina nulos. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Meaning, I appreciate the pushback, but it's not true. The meat is allowed to be eaten, even if it's a single rove. So, where are we right now? A single rove is sufficient. We've established that. We know that. Right? You can eat a piece of meat, even though there's a chance that it may not be kosher. But if rove tells you that it's kosher, it's kosher. And a single rove, you don't need a double rove. So why is it whether that when it comes to a woman who was violated and the child to be kosher, I need not one, but I need a double rove. Why should that be? So the Gemara says, Mala Subirchs. And so, again, we've heard this so many times throughout Seder Nashim. We're used to this. We're going to keep hearing this again and again. And that is Yichus. That when it comes to genealogy, when it comes to pedigree, so Mala, in other words, they made Chumras. So this is a Chumra that they made for Yichus in order to make sure that there's integrity to the Yichus. So a number of chumras were instituted, this being one of them. And so therefore, normally, under normal circumstances, a single rove is sufficient. But for yichus and to make sure, to further maintain integrity when it comes to yichus, so therefore, a double rove is necessary. Okay, I can't. That basically takes us to the end of the sugya and the Gemara now gufa. We're just going to go back and we're going to revisit and we're going to go over some of the most basic information. This idea of kol kavod kamech samech zadami, where is it coming from? Now, you probably heard me say this before, and I'm just going to say it again. Okay, it is going to be difficult to explain this from a logical standpoint, from a rational standpoint. Okay, I've heard, and I myself have attempted to give rational explanation to this halacha, and at this point in time now, I am more than comfortable saying, don't bother. Meaning, or at least I'm comfortable simply saying, It's not rational. Meaning it's beyond rational. If somehow it makes sense to you, I congratulate you. I'm happy for you. But in other words, it doesn't, right? Normally we like it when things make sense and it speaks to us rationally. It just happens to be that over here for this particular halacha, it's just simply this is the Kabbalah. This is the traditions that we have. Kufa. So this idea that when the suffix is coming from something which is stationary, so then that's kavua. And at that point in time, I throw the numbers out. Statistically, I ignore what the statistics are. And it's going to work in both directions, to help and to hurt. Most of the time to hurt, but sometimes it helps. It's going to be a chumra, but sometimes it'll be a kula. Okay, so minale, de Rebbe Zeraha. So we're going to go just simply quickly over that case again. 9 stores in the town. Sorry, 10 stores in the town. 9 of them selling kosher, 1 of them selling non-kosher. So someone went into the store to pick the meat up, having no recollection of which store he went into. So this is what's called kavua. Called kavua, kemechta mechzadami. The meat now is not kosher. It is a 50-50 chance that meat's not kosher. Again, what do you mean 50-50? Of the 10 stores, 9 of them are selling non-kosher. Sorry, 9 of them are selling kosher. So 50-50 chance that the meat's not kosher. Again, this is the halacha of kavua. Kavua tells me that once the suffix originates from a stationary location, i.e. the store, so then statistics get thrown out. We're at 50-50. Fine. So the Gemara says, Hasam lechumra. Okay, good. So congratulations. You got me to a chumra, meaning that's going to be easy. Get me to a kula. How is this kavua going to get me to a kula? So ela mitesha tzvardim v'sharetz echad b'nei v'naga b'echad b'nei v'nei 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 v'naga sveik v'tamei. So you have nine frogs, nine dead frogs, I should add. And amongst them, you have one sheretz. Rashi over here describes there are eight shrotzim that when they die they, and you touch them, you're going to become tamei. So of the eight shrotzim, one of them is called the tzav, tzadi beiz. And Rashi points out over here, it looks like a frog. Okay, good. So some sort of amphibian, reptile, whatever the case is. And so now I got 10 corpses of, nine of them being frogs, one of them being a tzav. And I touched one of them. Once again, don't know which one I touched. So now, because they were stationary, so what's the halacha? Kavua. Kol kavua, kemech samech sadame. What is the statistical chance that I touched the tzav? Very small. 10%. What is the halachic chance that I touched a tzav? 50%. And what do we say? Your tummy. So hasam nami lechumra. So again, the Gemara says, mazel tov. We got to a chumra. Okay, good. In other words, getting to a chumra is easy. So, ela, miteisha shrasim mitzvah de acha b'nehem. V'naga b'echem e'am e'ina de b'zem e'naga b'rishus yachit sveiko tamir b'rishus rabim sveiko tahor. Ah, okay, good. We got to a kula. And here's how the kula is going to work. I've got nine tzavim, one tzvardeya. So there's a 90% chance that I touched a tzav, which is metami. Good. And now what happens is the following. But they are now in a stationary location. They're kavua. I touch one of them. Now what does the halach of kavua teach me? Kol kavua, kemechsa mechsa. So even though statistically it's a 90% chance that I touched it, halachically, what is it? 50% chance. Ah, that's good. Why? To go from 90 to 50 is good because we have the halacha that when it comes to tumah, safek tumah in a rishus harabim is going to be tahor. Ah, you see, if it's 90, that's not a safek. 90 is like that's vaday or karav levaday, whatever. It's not a safek. So, but once the halacha of kavu is able to move it from 90 down to 50, and it occurred in a rishus harabim, okay, good. Now we have a scenario in which the halacha of kavu is going to get us to a kula. Okay, umidaraisa menalan. Fine. So now for step number one, kol kavu kemechsa mechzadame bein lechomer bein lekula. Check. Next box we're going to check, and that is where is this halacha coming from? Meaning now again, the Gemara is not going to be providing rational explanation for the halacha. The Gemara is just going to give us a source. Where in the Torah do I find this idea of kol kavu? Okay, so midaraisa menalan amakrav arav lo. Vikam alav. So the Torah, right? This is Parsha Shoftim. So the Torah over there describes how you ambush the person. You intentionally try to kill the individual. Ashi's kamin lo. So in other words, in order to be subject to the death penalty, you have to have kavana. There has to be intent to kill the individual. V'rabanan amri debe ravyanai prat lazorik evan lego. This would exclude the Prat Lazorik Evan Lego, where I throw a stone into a crowd. Okay, now, Hechidami, I threw a stone into what kind of crowd? Meaning this crowd is populated by whom? Elam Adika Tisha Kanan Vechad Yisrael. So are we talking about nine Kananim and one Yisrael? Now, just to be clear, before we engage in the numbers, okay, so killing anybody is an Isser Gamor. Right, you cannot kill anybody, neither Jew nor non-Jew. And both of them are a violation of the Torah. I'm saying as clearly as possible. Just I don't want there to be any misconception. The only difference is going to be punishment. In other words, when you kill a Jew, so that is going to be a capital crime. So when you kill a non-Jew, it's just simply a crime, but not with capital punishment. Okay, that's the halacha. So that's going to be the difference between the murder of a Jew versus the murder of a non-Jew. Now, with that stated, so what happens is that when you take a stone and you throw it into a crowd and you kill somebody. So now, so if that crowd is made up of nine non-Jews and one Jew, so the Gemara says, okay, so at that point in time, so you're not going to be subject to the death penalty because probably you killed a Kanani. Now, inami pago pago safik nefashal zako. And even if, let's say, it was 50-50, 50 of them were Jew, 50 of them were non-Jew. So you're not going to get the capital punishment because safik nefashal zako. And now, safik nefashos, by the way, we're talking about the murderer over here. But in other words, but we don't want to, in other words, any time that we're putting somebody to death, unsure as to whether or not he deserves it or not, that's called safik nefashos. Obviously, we're going to be makel. If we don't know that he's deserving of the death penalty, and 50-50 right now tells us that he's deserving of the death penalty, of course we're not going to put somebody to death. So lo tzricha dika tisha Yisrael mekanani echad b'nehem da'avalei kanani kavu v'kol kavu k'mechza mechza dame. So the Gemara says, so the case in the Torah that the Torah is describing where I'm taking a stone and throwing it into a crowd is talking about where nine of them were Yisraelim and one was a Kanani. Now, did I kill a Jew? Statistically, the answer is yes. In other words, right, the 90% chance that you killed a Jew. However, because they were kavur, because they were stationary, and because this halach of kol kavur, kamechza mechza dame, so even though statistically it was a 90% chance, halachically, it's a 50% chance. And now 50% chance, I killed a Jew, 50% chance, I killed a non-Jew, now are we going to execute this individual? No. Safik nefashal sahako. Okay. Huh? So one of the real struggles I have every time we go over this is the definition of kavua versus the definition of parish, right? What's clear from the Gemara over here is that as long as that crowd was not moving, so now they're going to be having the definition of kavua. Once they start, in other words, once you see them bouncing around, I don't have to be that dramatic, but you understand. Once they start moving, so then we shift from kavua to parish. And it becomes confusing. It's a challenge. The caravan coming through, right? That's considered parish. The locals are considered kavua, but even the locals are considered kavua when they leave their home to go and violate the woman. That now is considered parish. Okay, so all you get to do is watch me struggle, which is good. That's entertaining.
What's the actual definition of the word?
Kavua means stationary. And parish means when it separates and moves.
Even if it's moving, he has no kavana that he's going to kill that particular.
Good,
person.
Right? So when you don't have kavana to kill a particular person, right? This kavan like haragazeh haragazeh. So that's a machlokus in terms of whether or not you're going to be chayv or potter. So the right. So Rabbi Shimon happens to be of the position that you're potter. But that's not the Chachamim's position. The Chachamim is going to be Chayev. Okay. And this is subscribing to the sheet of the Chachamim. Itmar. Okay. Tezvav Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Itmar Rav Chia Barashi Amar Rav Halachi Rav Yossi. So the Halacha is in fact like Rav Yossi. Now, keep in mind this is a statement of Rav in terms of Halacha. Halacha is like Rav Yossi. Who's Rav Yossi? Beginning of the Daf. So Rav Yossi was the one who told us the story with the woman who was violated. And Rav Yochanan Nuri says that as long as I have a majority, so then Masil Kahuna. Now, right? And that, well, okay, hold on one second. One thing at a time. So Rav says Allah is like Rav Yossi. Good. Now, Rav Chanan Barav Amar Rav Harasha Haisa. So the Gemara quotes another statement in the name of Rav, which is Harasha Haisa. That was not normative psak. But it was something specific to that particular case. Okay. There was some other consideration that we simply don't know about. Meaning, because what do I normally need in order to allow for yichus? Like we learned earlier this morning, double rov. So mesa Rav Yirmiyahu luchsin lo beinan trei ruba v'atanan. So Rav Yirmiyahu says, what are you talking about? We're talking about yichus over here. And as we already established, and we're going to say it again, I need a double row for Yichus. Did none? How do I know that? Vatanan. We're on the top of the Amud Beis. So Matzah Batinik Mushlachim Rov of Dekocham Mimrov Yisrael Yisrael Mechza Mechza Yisrael. So we're going to start off with it's a Mishnah. Mishnah Machshirin, the Mishnah about the abandoned child. So you find the abandoned child. So what is the identity of this abandoned child? So we don't know. So statistically, what are we going to say? Well, let's look at the population. So if the majority of the population is not Jewish, the child's not Jewish. If the majority of the population is Jewish, the child's Jewish. And what if it's mechsa mechsa? Right, the most recent survey population of the town came out to exactly 50-50. So the child is a Yisrael. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah gives us really broad strokes with not much detail. And so even before we formulate the Gemara's question, we got to fill in the detail of that Mishnah. So the Gemara goes on to say, "Va'amar Rav Lo Shana Olach Yoso." And on that, Rav made the following comment. That, in other words, there are three sections to the Mishnah. On the section of the Mishnah that says, Rov Yisrael, Yisrael, that if the majority of the Jews, the majority of the town is Jews, that child is Jewish, Rav comment on that, yes, la'achayoso. Meaning for all social services in the town, 100%. Right? In other words, put him in the orphanage, to take care of him, raise him, etc., etc. Avaluyuchsim lo. But not for Yichus. Meaning that child is not going to be a bona fide Jew vis-a-vis Yichus. That child is not going to be able to marry a Kohen. Ushmol amar lefakech alav ezegal. And Shmuel says that what you could do is that you could violate Shabbos for this child. Whether Shmuel and Rav argue with one another or just simply making two separate points that may work in concert to one another, okay, that it could be. But the larger point is that we just heard and learned in the name of Rav that for Yichus, I need a double Rov. And meanwhile, previously we said we only need one Rov. So meaning when Rav says that the halacha is like Rav Yossi of our Mishnah, so in our Mishnah was only one Rov, and that was for Yichus. Okay, so that's confusing. So Ishta mitate hadam Rav Yudam Rav Bekarna Shol Tzipor Rav HaMaisa. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what you did? You forgot the beginning of today's daf. Okay, which is not a big deal. I take it back. It is a big deal. You forgot the beginning of today's daf. In the beginning of today's daf, we said that our Mishnah is not just talking about where the local population is majority Jew, but on top of that, there was a caravan that was passing through. That was the case in our Mishnah. So in other words, in our Mishnah, you did have a double rov. You just forgot that we learned that earlier.
Did this child have to convert at the age of Bar
Mitzvah? Presumably no. In other words, the child is Jewish, but not. In other words, it lacks the Yichus to be able to marry a Kohen. That seems to be the Gemara's conclusion. Ula Rav Chanan bar Rav Adam Rosh Aisa Kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, but we do have a tradition that Rav said that our Mishnah Hora Asha'a, meaning it is not the normative psak. In other words, there were other considerations taken into account. Again, we don't know what they were, but whatever the case were, it's not normative psak. So Haman de Masniha Ha Lo Masniha. So the Gemara says, okay, that's irreconcilable, meaning. You either will understand our Mishnah that it's a double rov, and you just have to fill in that important detail that there was a secondary rov. That's one possibility. Alternatively, you'll say that our Mishnah is a single rov, but with mitigating circumstances. The Gemara says fine. In other words, you'll have to pick a lane. And I know that in Rav we were given both lanes. So the Gemara says okay. In other words, whoever subscribed to one viewpoint of Rav does not subscribe to the other viewpoint of Rav. Okay, it's irreconcilable. So Gufa, as long as we quoted this Mishnah Machshirin, so the Gemara says let's go over it. Let's say it over, and let's go over some of the details in that Mishnah. Again, there are three parts to that Mishnah, right? Abandoned child. If the majority of the population is Jewish, the child's Jewish. If the majority of the population is not Jewish, child's not Jewish. Mechsa mechsa, child is Jewish. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now the details. Gufa. Good. So we just went over the Mishnah again. The Gemara now is going to fill in the details. When we said that as long as the majority of the townspeople are Jewish, the child is Jewish, that is in terms of social services. But not for Yichus. And Shmuel says that you can violate Shabbos for this child, meaning the child is a Jew. So Umi Amar Shmuel Hachiv Amar Rav Yosef Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel Ein Ochin BeBikuch Nefesh Achar Rov. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. You're telling me that the only time there will be Michal Shabbos is if the majority of the townspeople are Jewish. Then and only then are we violating Shabbos for that child. Gemara says it's not true. When it comes to Bikuch Nefesh, we don't follow Rov. Meaning, as long as there's a chance that the child is Jewish, you're going to be violating Shabbos. Elakid Mar Dishmuel Areshay Itmar. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we have to do is that Reish Shmuel is out of place, meaning, again, there are three sections to the Mishnah, and we attach Shmuel to the wrong section. So the Gemara says, okay, let's attach him to the right section. So Reish Shmuel, Imra Ovdi Kochavim, Ovdi Kochavim, Amr Shmuel, Fakech Olav Agal, Eino Kain. So now it's properly placed. On the section of the Mishnah where, if the majority of the people of the town is not Jewish, the child is not Jewish, so Shmuel says, yes, but now you're saying there's a chance. You're saying there's a chance. As long as there's a chance that he's Jewish, so you're going to be Mechal Shabbos for that child. So the Gemara says, okay, now what did the Mishnah mean when it says that the majority of the townspeople are not Jewish, the child's not Jewish? Amar Papa, Lachil Nevelos. So what it means is that the child can eat Nevela, meaning the child's not Jewish. The child doesn't have to subscribe to Kashrus. Imra Yisrael Yisrael Lamai Hilchasa. If the majority of the townspeople are Jewish, the child's Jewish. Legabe what? So Amar Papa, Lachzir Lo Aveda. Meaning that if you lost an item, you found it, so you can return it to him. Okay. You not can, must return it to him. What if it's 50-50, child is Jewish? What halacha is that making reference to? So Amr Shalkish Lenezikin. So the Gemara says, Nezek damages. The Gemara says, what does that mean? So let's say my shore banged into his shore. So the halacha is that when it comes to Nezek, the ox of a Jew hitting the ox of a non-Jew, so putter, you don't have to pay. Right? It's an uncomfortable halacha, but that's a halacha. Gemara elsewhere talks about when he taught Torah to non-Jew, so he taught over all the Torah, including this halacha, even though obviously it can lead to a little bit of antagonism and animosity. But anyway, that's the halacha. So if the ox of a Jew hit his ox. Again, what is he right now? We don't know. 50% chance that he's Jewish, but of course 50% chance that he's not Jewish. And what do we know when it comes to mamonos? Right? Hamotzi mechaver alavarai. You want to extract money from me? You must prove positively that I owe you the money. Right now, there's a chance, 50%, that I don't owe you the money. You don't have enough grounds to get money out of my pocket. So lotzricha denache tura didei, latura didan. So the Gemara says that his ox hit one of our oxen. So paga mishalem. So now, as far as half is concerned, he's going to pay. Meaning, in order to appreciate this, just know the basic halacha, which is that if it's a tam, a short tam, so you pay chatzi nezek. But that's only from a Jew. If from a non-Jew, so even if it's a short tam, you pay full. So now, what is the claim made against him? Well, the claim made against him is that your ox hit my ox, and you are 50-50. So you should be paying me. In other words, there's a 50% chance that you're a non-Jew. Therefore, you should be paying me full damages. His counter-argument is, no, there's a 50% chance I'm a Jew, which means I know I'm entitled to chatzi nezek, I'm entitled to half damages. But now, on the second half, bring me a proof that I'm not Jewish, meaning there's only 50% chance. That's not enough to extract money out of my hand. So for the second half, I'm motzi mechaver, olav araya.
Why doesn't the brand have the amount to say whether he's Jewish or not?
We're assuming that all this is known, meaning that this is not the information of whether or not he's Jewish or not Jewish is not coming from him. That's a given. That's a known entity. And now, based on that, we're just going to use the basic rules of what grounds, what evidence do you need in order to extract money from one to another. Hadranach besulanises, and Adkan. That takes us to the end of the first parak of the Masechta. Okay, Mazel Tov. That seemed quick, but it was two weeks into the Masechta. Okay, so let's just quickly recap. Our last Mishnah here in the Masechta talked about Yichus. Rachmanus, the Mishnah describes how a woman was violated, impregnated, and now what is going to be the nature of that child? So they asked Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, and he said that as long as the majority of the locals are Jewish, so the child now can marry a Kohen. On that, so the basic approach of today's daf is that you got to fill in an important detail in the Mishnah, and that is that it's not one rov, double rov. Why double rov? Because this is Yichus. And when it comes to Yichus, Mala Asu B'Yichsin, so they made Chumers when it comes to Yichus, and so therefore you need a double rov. That's basically been the most of the discussion on the Amud Aleph regarding the Mishnah. We went over the halachas of Kavur, called Kavur Kamech Samech Zadami. Again, I've now given up on trying to give rational explanation. It's the halacha. It's just simply how it is. We went over that it's true whether it's a chomer or even if it results in a kula, right? The kula would be safek tama brishus ha rabim sfeko tahor. Fine. So it works. It works in either direction, lechomer or lekula. And then, what's the source of kol kavu kemech samach sadame? So it's a pasuk, meaning it's really a drasha, right? On our own, I'm not sure we would have thought of it when reading the pasuk, but the va'arav lo v'kam alav. So from there, in Parsha Shoftim, so we darshan out that if I throw a stone into a crowd, so since the people are stationary, kol kavua kemechsa amechsa dami. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, we really focused on a Mishnah in Machshirin. The Mishnah talked about an abandoned child where I don't know the identity of the child and who was the parents of the child. So the Mishnah breaks up into three sections. Majority of the town are Jewish, child's Jewish. Majority are not Jewish, child's not Jewish, and Mechsa Mechsa, the child is Jewish. On all three of those, the Gemara filled in details in terms of when these rules are applicable vis-a-vis which halachas. But it's, in other words, it's not unilateral, it's not fundamental. The Mishnah's got nuance, and the Gemara just provides for us the nuance in that Mishnah.